welcome in to episode 86 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blether with a Batty Bat, a crafting chamber of commerce with Owl Print Panda, a What's a Crack, a Swap section, the Mimi Me section, a What You Doing segment, the Caithness segment, and the Shoppy section's back. I sponsor this by my own business, www.energyhunt.com. which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It's got nothing to do with craft, but it pays for my wage and therefore your podcast. So get your cup of tea. I'll let you know what your crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Batty Bat. This one's been permeating for a while. It started a wee while ago when my neighbour asked if we'd seen the bats. Do we have bats? I asked, hoping madly that they weren't nesting in my roof as they make an awful mess and smell. No, I had the best of both worlds. They're nesting in the old barns there. Nobody lives there, it's the shade. Cool, I said. No, I hadn't seen them, but I just thought it was the house martins out late. No, it was bats. And then a few nights later, I actually spotted them whooshing past the door when I put the dog out for his nighttime roam around. And it reminded me of the poem by Jeremy Lloyd and spoken to music by Keith Mitchell. The bravest animals in the land are Captain Biggie and his band. That's Timid Toad, Reckless Rat, Artful Owl and Batty Bat. They march through the woodlands singing songs and tell that they have righted wrongs. Once hissing Sid, an evil snake... Well, I better not go on for copyright's sake, but I've got a link to the YouTube video in the show notes, so please go watch. Some of you will remember it. I had it on a BBC tape. Remember them? Cassette tapes? Yes. I like to think of Captain Biggie as a big scory. That's a seagull. But as we're talking about birds, I'll tell you I saw my first red kite recently down at the Black Isle, where Sheila from the Black Isle Crafts, she's got one on her farm. So that's really cool. I went, oh look, there's a scabby looking buzzard. And Richard says, no, that's a red kite. Look at its tail. I was impressed at his knowledge of birding. And then we drove past a sign about a mile later saying, red kites viewing. He'd been down that road not that long ago. They've been reintroduced to Scotland from Scandinavia and seem to be doing quite well there. In Perthshire, every time I've been at the tour roundabout since in the Black Isle, I've seen one. Also, I saw my first ever kingfisher in the River Tay when Richard and I were out running last week. Didn't get very close, but it was one. I was tickled pink. And finally on the birdie, there has been a sea eagle, or what is a white-tailed eagle, on the east coast has bred successfully. Now, they've been in the west coast, and I've actually seen them. They're spectacular. Wasn't bothered about the seals or nothing. I was like, look at the eagles! Wow! So that's Captain Biggie tied up. Now, we've got a timid toad in the polytunnel just now, and I find them sometimes when I'm weeding. I like to think it's a him, Toad of Toad Hall, you know. The bairns love to see it, and I love it to eat all my slugs. We had a reckless rat on the road down to the harbour. Somebody killed it and I'd never seen a rat round here before. We double checked it wasn't a waterfowl because they do live round here but not on our road. Everywhere, everything has its place, but I prefer a dead rat to a live one close to me. I also heard an artful owl out hunting the other night when I was looking for northern lights. Plus we've got more on Owl Print Panda later. Tenuous link there. I've got a link to a video that NASA had as its video of the day, which was a video showing a natural phenomenon of time-lapse of northern lights and rolling night shining clouds. And they're really rare in themselves and together extremely impressive. I'm going to butcher his name here. Masek Winisik, sorry for my really bad pronunciation, put it up on his Facebook page and he's local to Caithness. This is actually a Caithness video. And he's in the local Caithness photography and astronomy people, so I see stuff pretty regularly on Facebook through friends and Caithness photos. And then he got chosen as NASA's photo of the day and video of the day, and then he was in the news last night. I didn't actually see those northern lights, but I heard the owl instead. And thanks to Sheila O'Keefe, hi Sheila, who found the NASA link, and she's put it on the Ravelry board, so some of you might have actually seen it. I love that you thought of me, Sheila. And yes, that's Morven the Hill and the start of the video to the right. And this is the one I stitched at the Great Scottish Tapestry. I've got the YouTube link. It is just lovely. A Batty Bat is a funny little critter. They get bad press because of Dracula and the ones that like soup blood. Fair enough, I suppose. They are quite big. But they're amazing, and the pipistrelles that we get are just so cute and clever. My pal Marty was visiting with our lovely boyfriend Ricky, who said that when he cycles to work for night shift, they follow him on his bike, and I said it would be cool to record it because he cycles along, they fly and keep him company. Obviously he can't because he's a law-abiding type, but I could borrow him our dog cam for his helmet and point it up the way. Bats find their way in prey by sonar. I wonder where the phrase batty about things comes from. And then I thought, it may come from the term batty describing the erratic behaviour as bats can be all swoopy and fly like a mad thing after the insects it wants for tea. You get old bats, which... you get old bats, which I hope I never turn into. We used to live near one of them and she never stopped moaning. It was too hot, it was too cold, it was too this or too that. Never a good word to say about anybody or anything. I want to be an old deer when I'm older. There I thank people for their help and enjoy the fact that I'm still alive. We get batty about craft, don't we? We turn the craft bag or the craft room upside down to find the yarn that has the perfect yarn for that pattern. We go batty about the new patterns that woolly people have just published, or woolly wormhead, or woolly other things. We go batty at yarn festivals and squash into tiny spaces to get our hands on Wool Miser, or the Kate Davis Colours of Shetland book, or Just to See Isolde. We get branded mad as a bat if we're knitting within company of people whose only hobby is smoking and talking and just don't understand the comfort of craft. The doing of it and the completion of the task gives us such rewards we put up with them sneering at us. Because we know better, don't we? We aren't mad or flying erratically. We're a sonar, finely engineered aeroplane. One that knows exactly where it's going and why. The real bat goes for the insects for its dinner, but we go for that pleasure and reward of crafting because at the end of it, we can achieve something more worthy than any of their sneering. Be proud of your bat, or your toad. Hissing Sid is never seen again. If you need a pee stop, because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Section. A sandy hello to new to me listeners, been with me for a while now, been with me forever listeners. I don't like missing anybody out. I really appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you're enjoying yourself. Now we've got no new group members this episode and I had a look through the introduction thread again and there was a few of you in there who I must mention. And I don't mention very often but I know that you do listen. Hello to Helga and Michael, Faye Dreamer, VK, Liberty Knits and Kiglia Kitten. And also, random hellos to Patricia M. Fragsey, whose most lovely Twitter friend is always favouriting some nonsense that I'm tweeting about. And then we've got Karen E. 1969, Lisa Lynn, Leafy Dragon, and Needs Yarn. All of you are lovely, and I get lovely messages from you, so hello.
What's the crack, Citrin?
What's the crack? I apologise, you're probably hearing my soup bubbling away in the background there, because I can hear it in my earphones. We had our last trip of the summer holidays down to visit Richard's brother who lives near Perth, and we had a lovely weekend. We visited the Active Kids Play Park north of Perth, which is wonderful, good value if you've got bairns. The adults are cheaper than the bairns, and the adults can use most of the things there, such as the pedal go-karts, the big slide, the crazy golf. I'm not very good at crazy golf. They've got a petting farm area and a bridge for the goats. It's a goat bridge, and we were standing underneath it going, this makes us the trolls. Roll the ole, I'm going to eat you for supper. I'll recommend it to you if you're in the central belt or you're in the area with bairns under 10. We also went back to the Going Potted Pottery in Dunkeld, where I painted some egg cups and the bairns and Richard painted his brother a mug as a thank you. We had a trip down to Paisley to visit Sandy's godparents, and I got a wee trip to IKEA. I bought some thread, some nice, almost cat kidson pattern material for £5 a metre. So I bought 3 metres of it to make a dress. And I mention this because I laugh, because my friend Cheryl said, oh, that's really nice. Are you making cushions? No, I'm making a dress. She was obviously in the mindset of IKEA fabric is for home furnishing. No, it's not. Well, not just. I bought some plain red cotton and some blue and red polka dots, and it's all matchy. Matchy. It's nice and icy. Yeah, can you tell I've been listening to The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie? Yes, girls. Sorry. Oh, on Saturday we went to my Mackay clan gathering at the Helmsdale Highland Games, hence the pipes at the start. It was absolutely teeming it down with rain in the morning and blowing it horizontal here, and I was thinking, oh, I really don't fancy this, but it's only once a year and I want to go. So we got everyone dressed appropriately and thought, oh, we'll go to the community centre because my cousin Joey and Anne book it for the family and friends, and we get our lunch and food and stuff, and we see the family. We go up to the park and watch the games in the Bourne State Park, the running races. But we'll maybe just miss that bit and we'll just stay in the community centre. But as we got further and further south, the weather improved, and by the time we got to Helmsdale, it was blue skies and hot sunshine. We had lunch and the talking started. This is exactly where I get my talking from. It didn't stop until we were in the car at 6:10. We don't really see each other very much throughout the year, so we have to catch up in one day. And there was photos taken and photos shared, news, gossip, and a lovely family time was had by all. And we did make it up to see some of the Highland games. There was tossing the caber, throwing the hammer, tug of war, which is always entertaining. And then there was some track and field. They had the hill race where they run up the hill, and he got 13 minutes and he was up the top. Oh, but I believe he's a fell runner that won it. So I think it must have taken him about 26 minutes. I can't tell you exactly how long it is, but uphill, it's quite steep. And you get adders up there, so maybe that's the hissing Sid reference, because I've not seen any snakes and not really keen, so thank you. Awful Shiny Bees was talking about her snakes. Oh, I couldn't do that. But it was nice to listen to her latest episodes, and she's in the UK just now. So hello, Shiny Bees. I know that you're maybe listening at some point. Right. So it was a really good day in the end and stuffed the weather, but it was nice to catch up with my family. They're doing this project over in Helmsdale just now, and it's to do with the immigration that they had for the clearances, the Highland clearances back in the 1800s. And they've got a great big programme, lots of different places that they've begun going to. And apparently my Auntie Elizabeth has never been in the house, so she's been enjoying doing this. And they had a lady in one of the tents, and she was the local quilt maker. And she had lots of different tartans out, and she had the names of the local families to the area. Mackay, obviously, has got about 4 tartans. There's ancient, there's modern, there's dress, and there's la-di-da one. And then she had a sort of demonstration of how you would string the kilt itself together. So that was quite interesting, but I didn't get a chance to speak to her. And they had jewellery stand. Richard bought me a brooch. It was a dragonfly brooch. And you know I like dragonflies. Oh, we saw dragonflies. Great big blue chill. Lovely. And the small blue butterfly at Dunnet Forest last week. So it was quite nature notes. Paula better look out and maybe take it over. So it was all very interesting. And a historic day in my house happened this past Tuesday. Daisy started school. So this morning I found myself with a quiet house. And although she's only on mornings for 2 weeks, that's it. My bairns are in school. Nobody cried. She went off quite the thing. And they've got a new teacher and a new headmistress, and she's wonderful. So getting to know the new teacher as well, and I hope they have a great school year. And I've been told by Richard that I've got lots of work for the business to do, which is fine. That's it, fine. I love the fact I can do work with having to rush back or put tight deadlines on meetings now. Although, it's a bit quiet there now, so if any of you listeners can sign us up for a nice big juicy contract, that would be really nice, please. But also, I find myself with some time to do some craft as well. And hopefully get some podcasts recorded during the day, so I don't spend all night editing them. Currently, Daisy is in the sitting room chilling out. She doesn't realise I'm doing this, so I might get interrupted at some point before my soup cools down. And I'll get some running done. I got up to the elusive 5 kilometres mark yesterday. I was 4.6 today, and I'll go a bit further tomorrow. So I was really chuffed, and I was listening to the Wittertainment podcast. But I actually got lost in Dunnet Forest. I know, it's 2 square metres, and I went the wrong way. And I walked into a tree, I thought I'd cut my head, it was sore. Anyway, I'm a big girl, it didn't really hurt that much. Moving on. The Great Scottish Tapestry is nearly on exhibit. It's on show in the Scottish Parliament buildings on the 3rd to the 22nd of September in Edinburgh. And it's free to enter, and it's open on a Saturday. I'm planning on going down either the 7th or the 14th of September. My textile artist group are going, save the three of us, to the pre-show for the Stitchers on the 2nd. They've got an hour slot after they get tea and cake and a chat with the other Stitchers and the organisers. But it's on 2nd, which is on a Monday, and it's the first Monday that Daisy's at school all day. So I just can't go to be with them. But finally, it's happening. And if you are in and around Edinburgh the 3rd to the 22nd and love works of art, please do go along and then tell me what you think. Plus, you know the statue of the Hill of the Caithness Schoolroom on 1851 panel? Me! But whatever you do, don't touch the panels. They won't like that. No, they won't like that. But you'll want to. All you spinners, have you seen the new section on Ravelry for your handspun? I just went in to see what it was, and I think they're trying to encompass the fibre community the way they already have for the shopboard yarn. You can add it as a fibre or spun, and it's supposed to help you choose projects for it. But they say they've got a little monkey at the top, we're still working on this bit. I was like, yes, absolutely brilliant idea for my handspun. Plus, I'd written it down in Ravelry what my merino was, thankfully, because I'd forgotten. Although, I must have given off some of the Jacob because I don't know where it is in my stash. So go in and have a good poke around, you spinners of yarn. It kind of does it all for you. You just click confirm and it goes for it.
The swap section.
Swap. The tea cosy is about finished. Thank you to all who took part and I hope that you're pleased with what you sent and received. I put up a wee reminder onto the thread as a couple of people had not put up their photos of what they received or description. And I would be grateful that if you get your package, could you please do that onto the thread so that others can see that your swap partner has done your duty and sent you a lovely swap. If you can't work how to do it, please put a description up. And it's actually a rule to the swaps, by the way. In Louise La La Land, you know all this already, but in reality, I'm asking you to do this for future swaps. I can understand holding off sending your own package to see what you get from the other person, as I'm a bit vague as how much you send. And I had messages in the past asking exactly how much, or feeling like they've not sent enough, or going too much, and then going and sending something else. See, this started out with a little fabric postcard, and it's kind of getting a bit bigger now. So I'm going to put on a little bit more structure to the instructions to stop this happening. I don't like any of you feeling bad about it. I'm going to avoid putting a cost on it because some people have more money than others available to them. But for the next swap, which is the coaster for a mug, please include the coaster, either made or bought, something local to you, and then a note for later explaining what you're sending. This local to you item can be a set of postcards or magnet or biscuits or jam or yarn or fibre. That's up to you and what's available to you. And if you feel generous, it doesn't have to be just one item local to you. But please limit it to 4. I think that's only fair because you don't want to send too much and then get hee-haw back in return. Or even if you are a dead generous kind of person, the person who you receive it from has sent you hee-haw in return and then feels bad. So, yeah. So what I tend to send for people who are new to swapping is either some homemade envelopes, possibly a project bag that I've made, some Caithness biscuits or chocolate, some leaflets from the tourist office, say a magnet or a sticker or a calendar with Thurso on it. And I'm lucky because I live in a place that's pretty and has these sort of things. I think it just takes a little imagination and seeing what the other person would like if you give them a good look at. Such as, say if they're on a diet, don't send them biscuits. Or, I'm allergic to nuts, so I wouldn't thank you for anything that includes them. That includes hand cream and lip salve. Almond oil is in them and it doesn't agree with me. You don't want to send me to hospital now, do you? Anyway, that's enough of the ear bending. I've set the swaps, a coaster for your mug swap, and it can be bought or made, and then the something local to you, limited to 4 items, as previously mentioned, and a note or letter explaining it all. And if you could post it out by the 20th of September, that would be really good. And if you can't, please let your swap partner know. Now, also in future, I've got a really cracking idea for the next swap, and then we're going to talk about Christmas swap. Yeah. But I'm going to have to make sure I get the timings right for this so that we don't have what we had last year and just not quite have too short a timing on it. Okay? Moving on. Right, Crafting Chamber of Commerce. Remember when, back in the day, I went to Edinburgh Yarn Festival? Because it was so long ago. It's only March. And I mentioned Owl Print Panda's Amanda. Well, now I've got her interviewed and here it is. Question one. Can you tell the listeners about yourself and your Etsy business? And she said, certainly. I'm Amanda, or Panda, if you like a nickname. Apparently it suits me. If only because I'm 5 feet tall and I wear too much eyeliner. I've just moved to Glasgow from Edinburgh for work, which is extremely busy, but I'm loving the challenge. The Etsy shop is an extension of myself and my hobbies. It stocks stitch markers, patterns, and other bits and pieces, which you can usually find out how to make yourself on the blog. Question two. What made you start it? She said. There were too many ideas. I can imagine that of Amanda, actually. I spent quite a lot of time looking for knitting accessories I wanted and I could never quite find, so I thought I'd go ahead and make them myself. Once people started asking where I'd bought them, it seemed to make sense to start popping them up for sale online. The same sort of thing happened with the knitting patterns. I'm one of those people who go shopping for hours and leave with nothing because it wasn't quite what I wanted. If I'm about to spend weeks knitting something, I want the end product to be perfect, so why not do those myself too? Oh, I wish I was that talented. That's a good answer, isn't it? Question three. You have an impressive collection to sell. Do you have any favourites? And I expect you all to have a good look at this, listeners. She said, the little button stitch markers are my current favourites, or the wee camera ones. There's too much choice. I'm really quite guilty of dipping into the shop stock. But hey, perks of the job, right? The project bags also litter my flat. You can never have too many project bags. Oh, how true is that? Question four. How do you find the craft fairs? Are they a necessary evil or heaven? And she said, so far I've visited a few fairs but only managed to attend as a stall holder for one. I loved it. The knitting community is such a friendly one. You can't help but become involved in conversations with everyone who walks past. The Edinburgh Yarn Festival in March was incredibly busy. I didn't get time to eat, but it was so enjoyable. Anyone who's met me may also comment that my love for incessant chatting might have something to do with it, but in my defence, they came to my table first. I'll be at the Glasgow School of Yarn in October, so I'm really excited to be doing it all over again. Hopefully there'll be time to shop this time. Oh, please. I love Amanda. Question five. What direction will you take the business in the future? She said, I've been experimenting with dyes and different fibres for a while now. I would love to get some spinning supplies and hand-spun mini skeins to add to the shop. Cool. Suggestions are always welcome for stitch markers. There are some new summery glass markers now which seem quite popular. Yes, I know. I managed to get some of them. Ladybirds. They're lovely. And she's got apple ones as well. Where can listeners find you so they too can marvel at your lovely merchandise? She said, my shop is over on Etsy, etsy.com/shop/owlprintpanda. Patterns can be found on Etsy and Ravelry. And she's under Amanda-B-Collins. That's two L's. C-O-L-L-I-N-S. And if you want to keep up with what I am up to, I try to keep a wee blog. It's got ideas I love, wee chats and some wonderful artists and the usual bits and pieces I get up to. If and when I get round to taking photos of them. That's so Amanda. Thank you so much to Amanda. She's just lovely. I got a hug from her the first time we met and she's the kind of person that you feel you've already met. I could put her in my pocket for days when I need to pick me up. I've got a few packets of stitch markers from her now and she's a person that I really love giving my business to. So please do go and have a look at her shop. You'll find her prices extremely reasonable. And I know a couple of you have already purchased from her. Little Monkey has. Good luck in your first week at college or school, as you call it, Little Monkey. So this is shop/owlprintpanda. Please go look, befriend, and bye. Now, I got invaded there by Daisy and she's now playing with the money, so you'll hear her clanking money into her money box just now in the background.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. Why? What did I make this week? I finished The Ptarmigan Cowl by Jared Flood and I used Lotus Yarn's Silky Cashmere Fingering Weight and I held it double as the pattern is for double knit. There was 400 yards and the pattern calls 175 yards. I was supposed to be working with 200 yards then, And no, I didn't make it. Mind you, remember I had lost a couple of metres when I was winding it and I cut. Firstly, I had to stop four rows before the lace pattern finished. Which was fine, as it's finished with a bit of garter stitch and who's going to know? Oh, you lot. You are feeling sleepy. So sleepy. And you're under. No, you won't notice any mistakes or shortening of Louise's ptarmigan cowl. And you'll also give her lots of suki tea. Now go give yourself a pat on the back. And you're back in the room. Hi. You're missing. What? What do you mean you're feeling sleepy? Oh, you're not feeling sleepy. I then bound it off and I was using the Russian bind off, but I ended up halfway through the row with 3 inches of yarn left. I thought, that's not going to work. So I took it out and I bound it off normally and nearly to the end and I was running out and I soon knit two together, pass one over as a bind off. And I finished with, I'd say, about 15 centimetres left, but didn't sew in the end. The edge was too tight. And then I looked at the garter top border. It wasn't very good. I could tell where I'd ripped back and picked up. My stitches were back to front. So I took it back to the start of the garter border and I redid the last few rows and took it back far enough so I could use the Russian bind off again. As I was thinking, well, it need be quite stretchy to go for my big noggin. And then I finished and I blocked it using my T-pins that I bought from Loop in London. They're good. And it blocked nice to show the lace work. She's smiling at me as she's doing that. Yeah, sorry, I hope that's not going to hurt your ears. So it's blocked nice to show the lace work. It's not as prevalent as the cream he uses in the photograph, but I was pretty pleased with it and I couldn't find the extra design features I put in or out. And then I tried it on and the top's kind of floppy. I think it's blocked a little bit bigger than I was expecting and the top isn't funneling, it's rather floppy. But it does fold really nicely into my top and it's soft as a baby's bum. And then Richard says, ooh, that's nice and soft. Can you make me one in dark blue? But I found a pattern called Single Malt by Sarah Barber. I just need to get the yarn organised for it. She uses Plymouth yarn Baby Alpaca in a barley colourway. And I'd say, if it's single malt, it's a sun-bleached Winnie the Pooh. Thank you very much for the kind and lovely Scrappy Doo for gifting me this pattern way back. It's been really lovely and it's one I would knit again. Albeit I would probably use pointier needles for the knit three togethers. It's quite a quick knit. The lace isn't that hard and the end result is really nice yarn such as the cashmere silk. It's lovely around your neck. It would be a good present for this one of those who are thinking about Christmas knitting already. I know, how dare I mention the C word. But if you are a crafter, I would suggest you start planning if you want to make anything for Christmas now. Because it's the end of August almost. I'm not going to this year's though. On the 1st of August, Caithness Quilters had their show and tell day at the Assembly Rooms in Wick. And they had a coffee morning and raffles and bottle stall. And there was a really nice write-up in the John O'Groat Journal that had my mum sitting gassing to Joan and Catherine with picture. Even my friend at Star Quilt was in the photos. No close-up, thankfully. And mum took it home, took it to bits and redid it. And I'm very grateful to her for that. I've not touched it since, but she told me where I'd been going wrong, pinned both sides of the seams and bucked them up both sides and cut better, basically cut better. I have picked up on my wedding cross stitch blessings antler picture again. I mentioned I was doing some of the Geeky Curls video cast, a photo a day for August on Instagram, and whilst I don't have enough broadband to actually watch them, which is a shame, I do enjoy speaking to them on social media. All the best to you and all your family for the big move to Scotland. We might get to meet up with you when we come to Edinburgh for a cup of tea. Or even the Glasgow School of Yarn, which is coming up in October. Although, I'm thinking I might need a bit more work if we can afford that. Anyone want a project manager? I want more yarn. I did a bit of my cross stitch and I really enjoyed it. I'm nowhere near finished. In fact, a long time before I'm finished, but I really enjoyed it. I also made a tension square for my Owl's Jumper by Kate Davis using new Lanark yarn that the pattern suggests. I knitted half on size 6mm and then the second half on 6.5mm. I cast off and counted and thought, oh, that's fine, it works. So I cast on 108 stitches and knitted an inch and a half of rib, which is quite quick, by the way, because this is bulky. I then held it against my bog, which is my belly. I thought, that's not going to fit. No way is that fitting. And then I thought, I'll reread the pattern again. Cast on 108 stitches, check. Cast on with 6mm needles and then change to 6.5mm after the... Oh, no, check. I took it all out. I rolled up the ball, I put it back upstairs. I was happy with how fast it knit, but not the size it was, or most of that's my bow, not the pattern, which does have negative V's, which I had no idea what negative V's meant. I get mixed up a lot, and then I was kind of hankering to get socks started. My Cookie A Socktopus book was unborrowed by my knitting pal Rachel. I'll mention her more next episode. So I measured my foot, I wrote on the book, oh shock horror, remember I do that. I wrote on the book my measurements, I cast on, using a size 0.5 metally double pointed needles from Lidl's, which aren't the nicest, but the yarn is ace. A few years ago Richard went to Arnish Yard on the island of Lewis. See that noise? That's my daughter being quiet. Can you imagine when I say actually make noise, dear? On the island of Lewis to look for the fabrication of tidal device, and he had the hour to kill in Stornoway before he flew home. And what did he find? But a craft shop selling local yarn. He came home with a great big skein of sock yarn for me in blue and black colours. And I actually had updated my stash for this one, which is unusual for me. And it's a Kalanak Craft Seascape 4-ply wool, and it's got wool and nylon, and you get 400 metres. Sandrada, you'd asked me, but I couldn't remember. I love the way it's stitching up too. I just hope that socks work, they don't end up around my heels. So I'll let you know how it goes.
The Caithness section.
Caithness segment. Scooby-Doo ourselves back in time. Ooh, I actually don't like the modern Scooby-Doo. Sorry. Anyway, previously on Caithness Game of Thrones, the Sven the Pirate was introduced. Get your Viking and your pirate gear on. He was one and the same. Okay, he came in about 1123-ish period, and his main gaff was on the island of Gearsay in Wideforth, Orkney. But he also had a few bases in Caithness at Duncansby and Lambaborg, which is 10 miles south of the Duncansby headland. And he had a castle there which actually still remains as a ruin. Apparently, he stored his loot there as it was a spit of land into the sea which was hard to access. I wonder if he left us any. And his axe mark the spot? Probably not. He was a bit of a rogue. He didn't actually want to be the Earl, but he was instrumental in getting people in place that would assist his greedy ways. And he was in with King David, and it says that he had too much to do with the ultimate return of Caithness and Sutherland to de facto Scottish rule. He got the Duncansby bit from his father, who was Olaf Hrodrolsson. He was the governor of Caithness under Rognvald's rule. But Olaf was killed. He got burnt in his own housey by a baddie called Olver Brawl. And it's reckoned to be instigated by a wifey called Frak Gook, who the book says was a scheming, unpleasant lady who poisoned Harald but meant to poison his brother Paul. But Harald put on the poison shirt and she murdered him. But it mustn't have been not proven, as she was put to Caithness, where she tried to get Sven deeded too, but he didn't happen to be at home that day. Understandably, Sven was a little bit upset with Olver killing his father and five others at his house, so he served his revenge back cold. And so we've got to go a little bit around the houses to get back where he dished it out. Bear with me, we'll get there. He's been helping Paul, and he was the one that wasn't killed by Frakuk, to contest the earlship with Rognvald. So Sven goes off and does a few things other for a couple of years, and then ends up visiting my dad and Margaret, who was Paul's sister. They lived in Athol, which is quite far south in the Viking lands, and it's quite far away from the sea. Anyway, he decides that Paul's time as joint earl is running out, and in a consummate act of treachery, he kidnaps Paul from Rousey and he takes him to Athol. And they reckon his sister talked him into it because she wanted her son, Harald, in his place as co-earl. Sven must have been sweet on her because then she got him to go back to Rognvald and ask who would prefer as co-earl. Bearing in mind that Harald was 3 at the time and Paul was a man, Rognvald preferred the bairn because he then mould him to his ways. And Paul offered never to go back to Orkney and gave up his earlness. Then it got nasty. It is suggested, it is alleged, that Margaret hired Sven to blind and then imprison her brother and then get someone else to kill him off. But they don't know for sure. Very Game of Thrones, isn't it? 2 years later, Rognvald accepted the now 5-year-old Harald as his co-earl, and this put Sven back onto Rognvald's good books for sorting things out for him. He went on to be given a sainthood because nothing stuck to him. Rognvald, Not Sven. No, 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 no. He was never going to be anything but bad. Because then, a few years later, after sorting out that, Sven goes back to Rockfold and asks, because he's been a good boy, can I get 2 ships and some men? I'm going to take revenge on Olver and Frakok, because they now lived near Helmsdale in northern Sutherland. Sven then sailed south again to Banff, and he goes down to see Margaret again in Athol. I bet he did. And then they gave him lots of help with mountain guides, food, etc. And obviously, they were the pioneers of the A9. I wish they'd just made the dual carriageway there and then and had done with it. However, the baddies, Olver and Frakok, were looking to the north and to the sea, but they didn't look to the south. And Olver managed to escape from the slaughter from the house, because pretty much there was a lot of slaughter and the house burning. And he escaped up the Helmsdale River to the west coast and onto the Hebrides. And Frakok was burnt in the same manner that Sven's father had been, trapped in her own house and burnt to death. Sven had a good plunder then all over Sutherland and all over Scotland before going back to pay his dues to his earl in the autumn. So we're going to leave him there for the winter, and then next Caithness segment we'll go back in a little bit of time and explain how Scotland came back to being in Scottish rule. No dramas this episode.
What you doing
segment. Now we've got Diane Jensen Donald. Her hand-knit socks won first prize in the accessories category of the Western Idaho Fair this week. Well done, Diane! That's excellent! And Karen Beattie said she's doing a sock head hat out of Knit Picks Fleecy in Tyrrhenian Purple. Cool. So there's not too much what you're doing, but Daisy kind of did the what you're doing on account of she's at school.
Shoppy section.
The shoppy section. Now we've had no more transactions, but would anybody like a project bag for knitting? I'm very good at them. A nice drawstring one, and I can put a stitched skyline of Caithness on it. Go on, you know you want to. Anyway, I'm going to make one for me when Daisy's at school full days, and if it turns out good, I'll let you know.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. And Daisy making a noise in the background. There's a reason I'm doing it during the day. Too boring to go into. Now, my email address is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. I'm on Etsy, Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook as caithnesscraft. And you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010, or you can visit the Podbean site to get the actual download from www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. And the photos are down the right-hand side too. The music at the start and the end was from Tane Sutherland and the Junior Pipe Bands from the Helmsdale Highland Games this past Saturday. I stood in the chucking rain to get it for you, so you will listen and you will enjoy it, whether you like bagpipes or not. And you're back in the room. Thanks for listening. And keep on crafting.